Welcome to my blog talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. My guests for two guests for today's show are Heather Salmon and Pamela Nebaker. Heather Salmon is a sound healer, mystic, cultural creative, and recording artist. She is driven by knowing that we can create a new way of being on Earth that is sustainable, just, and thriving. Residing on Maui at the Black Swan Temple, an eco-sanctuary in the heart of the rainforest, Heather and her husband Donnie offer retreats, trainings, and mystical alchemy, sound healing, prayer performances for healing and upliftment. Pamela Nebaker is a lover of beauty and seeker of truth. As a podcaster, speaker, and author, she teaches the power of embracing life at every age. Pamela is the creator of The Art of Age Now, a movement that inspires women to be their best during every decade of their lives. Pamela is married to the man of her dreams and lives in Los Angeles, California, has eight grown children and five grandchildren. Pamela invites you to join her on this courageous journey of aging into the beauty of who we truly are. Join us for a conversation about their chapters on balance and self-love from the inspiring new book, Rise, Amazing Woman, Rise. Welcome.
Thank
Heather,
you so
are
much.
You there?
Thank you. Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Oh. Yeah, well, so
yes.
Far I have just you on the show, so we will go ahead and, oh, wait a minute, I think she just called in.
Okay. Yeah, oh, I'm right here.
Hello.
Aloha.
So sorry about the misunderstanding.
She
okay,
made it.
Yeah, great. Okay, I just wanted to say aloha to everyone.
Aloha.
Pamela, you weren't on before we went live, and are you speaking into the mouthpiece because you're not very loud? I can't hear you very well.
Oh, so sorry. Okay.
That's
Is that
better.
Better?
That's better. That's
okay.
Much better. Yeah, that's
okay.
Why I like people to call in before the show goes live.
Yeah, right?
Anyway, we are live, and we are being recorded. So let's get going. Let's talk about this amazing book, Rise, Amazing Woman, Rise, and your parts into it, in the book. So who wants to start with answering why must we begin to access the essential powers of the feminine heart?
Sure, I will. I'll start because I believe that the feminine heart, the way of caring, compassion, empathy, in the fierce feminine, not being that mama bear, mama cub, or mama bear, caring about not only her own children, but our community. You know, the feminine heart has the ability to kind of cast a net of love and a net of compassion around everyone. You know, and as we all rise in our feminine heart, then we're going to be able to see the transformation that we're desiring to see in the world. And that's, one of peace, of balance, of prosperity, of equanimity, and of caring, social justice, environmental justice. The feminine heart, cares about more than just her pocketbook or bank account. She cares about the well-being of all beings.
I love that. Now, which one of you said that, though? I'm not familiar
it's
with
Heather.
Your voices. So, Heather, I thought so, but I wasn't totally sure. So when you are going to speak, just say who's speaking so that
okay,
the guest
sure.
And I will know who's talking
good,
to us.
Good but, idea.
Yeah, I love that, and especially because of Pamela having eight grown children, I thought maybe it was her because of the mama bear thing.
Right.
Yeah, that made so much sense. What do you have to say about it, Pamela, about the access to the powers of the feminine heart?
Well, I believe that the time is now, and we haven't lived in a time like this before. Things are shifting and changing, and women are becoming stronger and more outspoken and courageous. And I think, you know, I totally agree with you that it not only affects our own family, but it affects our society, you know, from everywhere from you start with yourself, mm-hmm. and then you share that with your family, and then you share it with your community, and then you share it with your city and your state and your country and your and the world. And we are making a difference because of that. Mm.
I love that image of it going out from you to your family and the community and then out to the country and out to the world and even out to the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so the next question I have, let's start with Heather for your answers about this. What is the one essential mm-hmm. power of the feminine heart you write about in the book? And I already know what that is. So, and why is it more important than ever that we begin to embody more of this power?
Mm-hmm. So I write about in the Rise, Amazing Woman Rise, my chapter is about balance and dancing with balance. You know, we are all can have a lot of kind of plates up in the air, and it's really to determine how do we come into harmony with all of that and not get burnt out, spun out into overwhelm, or, and to really make sure that we have a sense of peace and fulfillment in the way that we are utilizing our time and energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved your chapter in the book about balance, and I think about balance so often because, well, right now, actually, to be honest with you, my life feels really out of balance at the moment. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just so many different things happening right now that are causing me to feel less balanced. And it's so funny because I talk about being a creative life balance coach, and it's so important to feel in balance in your life, and that's something that just recently is something a few things have kind of thrown me off balance. And it's made me more aware of how important balance is in your life and what an important topic it is. And it's been amazing also reading all of the different chapters in the book. I haven't read the entire book yet, but reading the ones for Connie and for Wendy for the first show about presence and intuition was really powerful. And then reading yours, Heather, about the balance was so, so very important. And I just love what mm-hmm. you had to say about balance in there. And
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to hear just a little bit about what it means to be out of balance. I mean, comparing it to what my feeling of it is right now.
Right. Well, I think that when we are in a state of out of balance, we can feel like we are in overwhelm. We can feel like it can be very frustrating. You can feel hopeless, depressed, powerless, kind of frozen, and not knowing how to get out of that. You know, it can be kind of a little scary at times to feel out of balance. So, you know, how do we get out of balance and into like where life is doing everything to us and we're not really in the driver's seat anymore? We're not really, and how do we make that shift? And so, you know, in the book, I talk about those are kind of classic traits of being the victim mm-hmm. of society, being the victim of your circumstances, of, you know, others. And so how do we shift from being a victim to finding a place of balance and feeling like you're engaged in your life and that you're, I call it like a vision quest. Yes, I might not know exactly where I'm going, but I know that this is the direction I'm getting. Yes, and it lights me up and excites me. Well, to get out of that place of victimhood, you know, it's good to take stock of what you have, who you are, in comparison even to the rest of the world. I mean, we say if you're, I mean, no, there's no secret. If you have a roof over your head, if you have running water, if you have, you know, flushing toilets, if you have food in your refrigerator, you're better off than practically 75% of the people on the planet. So,
So true. And yes, we do have those things.
Yeah. And so we're counting our blessings and starting with that, you know, developing an attitude of gratitude and then slowly making the shift. In the book, I give an exercise of going within, of breathing, of conscious connected breathing to get yourself to a still point where you can ask for guidance. And in that stillness and in that quietness, it can be hard for people to find that stillness and quietness. So I give a really tangible breathing exercise you can do anytime, anywhere.
I did that uh-huh. twice. The first time I was reading the chapter and also today as I was rereading the chapter. And I really, really liked it. And so I really recommend that people do that when they read your chapter of the book. It really was helpful.
Yes. Well, I've been working with hundreds of women at my retreat center, coming from big cities all over the world and just kind of feeling out of balance. And, you know, it's the quickest way that I have experienced for people to drop in and to calm the mind and the nervous system. And it really, really works. I lead this exercise just about every day and I'm during my retreats for my clients.
It sounds wonderful. And I love Maui and I'm so curious to come and see your retreat center. It just sounds so lovely. But before
Please do.
I want to. Before we go on to more about your part of the book, though, I'd like to have Pamela talk a little bit about her essential power that she writes about in the book and why she feels it's more important than ever to embody that power. So, Pamela, what do you have to say about that?
Well, my chapter in the book is on self-love, and I believe that it's the beginning of transformation. A lot of times, you know, we're born into this world and we are fresh and clean and new and no opinions, but then we start learning opinions and we start learning the supposed to's and we start learning that we're imperfect. And then when we get to be probably some people are a little earlier or later, but about 35 for me anyway, was mm-hmm. when I started to wake up and started to be introduced to some different ways of thinking and started to, again, about gratitude. I started with gratitude and that is how I began my journey to self-love. And that came from Sarah Ben Bresnik's book, Simple Abundance. She has you keep a gratitude journal, 5 things every night that you write down that you're grateful for. You know, on a really imbalanced day, it can be that you're still breathing. You know, on a really balanced day, you know, it can be the birth of a grandchild or a success in your career or being in love with the person who just sets your heart on fire. But everything from the very little to the really big and everything in between. And gratitude then takes us to another level of experiencing more gratitude, because the more you're grateful, the more you have to be grateful for in your life. It's almost like you wake up and you start acknowledging it and then whoom, it's everywhere, you know? Oh yeah. And I'm grateful for the color red because, you know, that has such a great energetic vibration in color. It can be so many different things, but that was the beginning of my journey to self-love. And then many things came after. And I think it is through self-love, it's it's part of one of the great commandments of every teacher who's ever lived and walked this earth to love yourself. And if you don't
know
yourself.
It's so important. And Louise Hay always talked about that so much, too, and
totally.
About loving yourself and even going in front of the mirror and saying, I love myself. I really, really love myself, which I had a hard time doing, to be honest, at first. You know, I mean, it just felt too weird. So what I found worked for me was at the beginning was just to say, I love myself, capital S self. And just say, yeah, and I didn't have to be in front of a mirror. I could just say to myself, I love myself. And I was at Toastmasters one night, and one of our members, he's like 90, almost 98 years old, his name's Ben, he had talked about how important it is to pause and that night. And so I started playing with it the next day. I love myself. I love myself, you know, different ways of emphasizing it. And then was having so much fun doing it. And you're reminding me of that. I had totally forgotten about that until you were just talking about that, about the self-love. And I think so many people get the wrong idea, though, about self-love. And I think what both of you are writing about in the book overlaps, and I think it was really a good combination of having the two of you on at the same time, because you both talk about breathing, you both talk about gratitude and appreciation and love, and in your own ways, I think you both talk about balance and self-love, which are both so important to having a happy life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's synergy with all the writers in the book, so it's so beautiful to see all these different expressions of the self-love and balance and different various aspects of it.
I'm curious, how did you each choose your topic for the book of the eight essential things that are in the book? How did you guys choose? Did somebody choose for you, or did you each choose out of that, or how did it work out?
This is Pamela. My experience was that Marsh had eight topics, and she asked me what resonated with me the most. And I kind of went back and forth a little bit between two different ideas, but settled on self-love because I felt like for me, it was the beginning of everything else. And I wanted to share that with other people, that it might be their beginning too.
That makes sense. And I can totally get that too. When you were saying about 35 years old, I was pregnant when I was 35 years old. I only have one child, and like you've got a whole bunch of them. My mom would have gone crazy. She wanted to have 12 of us, and she had five, and she wanted to have tons of grandchildren. She had not very many comparatively, but I don't know. You start realizing that you're not even on your to-do list. That's what happened to me after he was around for a few years. He was definitely at the top of my to-do list, and my husband and my work and all these other things had gotten on my to-do list, my friends and, you know, responsibilities. Talk about being out of balance, right? You know, and so I finally realized during that time that I had to put myself on the list. And that makes such a huge difference.
Because if you don't do it, if you don't do it, no one's going to do it for you.
Oh, I know. And I realized that finally, luckily. And, you know, it's Cheryl Richardson had written a book called Take Time for Your Life around 1999 is when I got it.
Mm-hmm.
She, at the time, you know, I read that and I thought, you know, she doesn't say beg for time, wish for time, hope for time, or even make time. She says take time. For your life.
Take it.
Yeah.
If you don't take it, somebody else will. Something.
Oh,
yep.
And I have experienced that so many times in my life. It's just so true. And I think you're right. That's part of what gets you out of balance is when you start saying yes to too many things and you just don't have enough time for yourself. Because I forget which one of you talked about it, about needing time with people, but also with time alone. Which one of you was that that was writing
about
that?
Yeah, that's, I definitely did. That's Heather here.
Mm.
I definitely talked about, you know, in creating balance, you know, doesn't mean that, okay, because I'm working and I want to accomplish things, that doesn't mean that I don't also value time alone and just being quiet and doing nothing. Just because I love my family doesn't mean I don't want to have some alone time, or just because, you know, all these, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. So the finding the balance in your life is just, it's discernment, it's making priorities, and it's really checking in to see what's most important in this time, moment of now, or the time frame you want to look at. And these things can change as well. And so for me, just to answer your question about how I came to my chapter, well, I think I was one of the last people into the project, but it was just so synchronistic because balance was open and there was one more chapter open. And balance, I mean, I host personal retreats for women all over the world, and I see hundreds of people, and they're all seeking balance. So it was like, yes, okay, I understand that. So we help guide people through, you know, deeper connection and finding out what is most important to them, and to setting their priorities and learning how to set boundaries with compassion, and how to listen to themselves and find the balance for themselves.
Mm, yeah, I can see where there would be a huge need for that in this world.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. How long are the retreats?
Well, the beautiful thing about our retreat, to me anyways, and to many people, is that you can come basically when you like, for as long as you like. We have a 3-4 day minimum. So as mm-hmm. long as we have space open, we're a boutique center, so we're only hosting up to a maximum of 6 people at any time. So you get a lot of mm-hmm. personalized attention. And, mm-hmm. You know, most of our clients stay 6 to 8 days, but you can even do a shorter thing like a 4-day taster. But our client said, you should be warning people that, yes, book what you think you want and then add another 5 days.
That is so true of Maui. It takes almost the first week before you're actually feeling like you're really there, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
we
just
usually
had one woman who was here
10 days
for...
and, yeah, 10 days, and then at that point, and it's just so great because at that point I finally feel like, okay, I can go home. I want to stay, but I can go home.
Right, right. You're a little decompressed and rested, and that's beautiful. And
yeah.
and you can always come back.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And planning trips is one of the joys of it, I think. You know, I like to book them at least several months or a year in advance so that I can plan, think about it. I mean, part of the enjoyment is just thinking about being there again. And it seems like that would
it
be
is,
true.
But I find that this generation, you know, the generation YZ and the millennials, they are very last minute in their planning. So they are booking like a week out. They're very
interesting.
Spongy. They're like, I need this now.
Good. Maybe they're a little better than we have been about loving themselves.
Right.
Maybe they're getting it
now.
Earlier.
That might be true. That might be true.
That might be true. Right.
I hope
they're like,
so.
I need help right now. So, yeah, they're great.
Yeah, my generation definitely is more of a planning generation, I suppose. Although, you know, I think that's part of why I feel out of balance right now. And it's not, don't feel too, or keeping me extra busy and that aren't my passion. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's easier to have the energy to do a lot of things when it is something you love to do. That's one thing I've noticed.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I think we are coming, you know, to a time where I call when you align work with your passion, your vocation, and your sacred service. So, you know, we have a lot more choice and freedom now than we had perhaps, you know, a generation or a couple of generations ago. And women are pretty courageous, so we can take our kind of carve out and do the inquiry. And people have average of four different career moves now. So you can keep changing and growing and know that you don't have to be stuck in the same situation for your whole
isn't it just so cool that we can do that?
Yeah.
I mean,
I agree.
A couple generations ago, they didn't have the same kind of opportunities.
Exactly.
Pretty amazing the time that we live in, both in positive and negative ways. But let's focus on the positive, that women really have opportunity now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
Yeah. And health and wellness is a growing sector. Is probably the number one growing sector, and so many women love to be involved with health and wellness and coaching and support. So it's beautiful that these opportunities are opening up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, next week for my show next week, I have on two more authors from your book, Katrina Wisdom on self-authority and Christine Howard on radiant achievement. Mm-hmm. And I started reading a little bit of their chapters, and oh boy, it's going to be some interesting conversations for that as well. I am so glad to be a part of this book. I'm just so glad that Marsh asked me to do this series of shows with the eight of you. And it was the very first time I had had three people on my show was when I had Marsh and Connie and Wendy on back last October for their book Amazing Daughter.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really fun having the three of them on the show. That's when I started realizing that it was important that people know who's talking, though, because especially with four of us talking that day, it could really get confusing.
All right, right. Well, this is Heather.
Okay.
And I love how Marsh says this is more than a book, it's a movement. So it's very exciting that we have, it is more than a book, it's a movement, it's a wave that is a transformational wave that is coming through, uplifting many, many people with many women. And we have a great workshop coming up in Pasadena in April around this book, and all the authors will be there. So if people are in California, LA, or want to come, mark that calendar for April 13th. We will be doing a workshop, and so each author will be sharing and doing a teaching from their chapters. Wow.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. So where is that going to be, in Pasadena?
It's going to be in Pasadena at the Center for Spiritual Living.
Mm.
And it's going to be all-day workshop with all the authors. Very exciting.
Wow. Well, that sounds amazing. I don't remember hearing about that, so I'm glad to know about that. April 13th. I wish I could come. I've got things going on already on my schedule for that time.
Oh.
But boy, I would love to be there and meet all of you in person and and go through those,
the
chapters.
I will also be doing a sound healing ceremony on the 15th on the same location in the evening. So April 15th at the Center for Spiritual Living. And I'm a sound healer and I lead sacred ceremonies. So we will be doing that as well.
That's
follow-up.
Awesome. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be amazing. Can you tell us a little tiny bit about that, about the sound healing and what you do with that?
Sure. So, you know, I came to sound healing when I used to be a professional actress in Los Angeles. And I had also been going through a lot of, you know, personal transformational healing work and I tend to kind of go through rounds of depression. And so when I was an actress, I was always like, I want to do healing in the performing arts. And I've been doing sound healing for almost 20 years now. So it's kind of very early on early adopter, I guess you would say. And I came to it as a practice for my own self-healing. I felt like I was holding things inside that just talking about them didn't give me the release or the transformation. I'd gone through a lot of different healing modalities. But when I came to sound healing and I do a shamanic form of sound healing, it really helped me to clear some deep wounding on a cellular level and find the freedom and inner peace that I was looking for. And so I do a number of different, I use sound healing in a number of different ways. What I'll be sharing on the 15th of April in Pasadena is a ceremony with my beloved Donnie, who will be joining me. And we will pick a topic. We might do it around the full moon, and full moon will be coming in around that day. And I like to give an intention and a focus for the ceremony. And then we go in and do an inquiry. And I'm a hypnotherapist as well. So I call it like a hypnosound journey so that we can harvest out of our subconscious, go into a real deep level to see what is up for healing and do some transformational work and come out of it with some clear intentions and feeling good and feeling transformed and aligned with our soul's purpose and our path.
As you were saying that, I was just realizing, I think that could be helpful for so many people because, you know, like you were saying, we can now do more than one career in our life, which thank you God for that. But also, it's just once you start getting to a point where you feel like you're not sure what's next, I think that's a time when you can really feel out of balance and not feel like you know what you want to do next. And so I think maybe that could help with that as well.
Exactly. I play the crystal singing bowls and a number of percussion instruments, and I find that the bowls help people come into a deep state of relaxation really quickly without having to do very much. So, you know, part of the unlocking is going into that deep relaxation so we can be deeply listening and receptive and open, and the crystal singing bowls just resonate on our whole beings on a cellular level, and they kind of recalibrate their pure tone. And I work with all these semi-precious alchemy bowls, like gold and white gold and all these different ones, and they just go in and work with us on a really deep level. So it's really powerful.
It sounds beautiful. Fascinating. I love music. It's one of the things I love the most. It's part of why I named my show Live Your Music, is because I love music.
I love,
but it's also because of Wayne Dyer and him always saying, don't die with your music still in you. And I wanted to say it without the don't and without the die.
Right.
So, you know, it's, to keep it positive, I miss positive here, yeah. And sometimes people will, my husband and son will be out, and they'll go, what would people think of Miss Positive right now?
Well, it's always growing and things, learning opportunity.
Yeah, that was one of the things we used to love about going, or have loved about going to Maui, is we used to see Wayne over there a lot, Wayne and his daughter Sky.
Cool.
And his daughter Serena, that's how we got to know them, was, well, partly from going to talks of his, but partly also from seeing him over on Maui.
Uh-huh.
So Maui always reminds me of him. Pamela,
yeah,
we need to talk more about you, though. I love all that Heather's been telling us, but we need to talk
me
more
too.
About you. Yeah, and talk about your the art of age now and about loving ourselves each decade. Tell us a little bit about that, because I think that sounds like something that all of us would like to do.
if we are blessed enough to get to live a long life, then yes, it's for everyone. And it's for everyone anyway, because every decade of our life brings new and different things and changes. We are constantly changing from the time we're born until the time that we transition to the next life.
Mm-hmm.
And so my story began when I was a little girl, and just observing my grandmother after my grandfather passed away. She was 48, he was 52. And she didn't have the same opportunities that we have now. And so basically, she sat down in this chair and didn't really get up. In fact, so much she sat in that chair that her body became the same shape as the chair when she got up and everything. Just incredibly sad. But it was a great gift to me in learning about how I wanted to live my life. And so I raised my family, and that was all-consuming, but wonderful at the same time. I used to joke, my husband and I got married 11 years ago, and we had 8 teenagers when we got married,
household, 8 teenagers.
So it was like a big party all the time, constant party. But
I can imagine. I used to love that show. Did you ever see that TV show called 8 is Enough?
Oh, yeah. Van Dyke?
It wasn't Dick Van Dyke. I can't remember the guy's name, but or the actress that was the mom. But I love that show. And I don't know, even though I grew up in a family with 5 kids, so it was kind of close to like that, but...
Yeah,
8 kids, that would be really a lot.
but then after the kids grow up, which has just been the last few years, we've been able to really embrace life and the next chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the next chapter was I wanted to, because of my transformation into, you know, a woman over 40, over 50, I wanted to inspire and help other women to embrace their age and to learn to get more beautiful, to really age into your beauty. And so that's what I do. I have a program that I teach and I coach and I speak and write.
Well, that seems like it's something really important, too, because, you know, you're right, each decade is different, and each decade brings its own gifts and its own challenges, and, we can keep getting better as we get older. We don't have to get old, and like you said, your grandmother did, and sit in the chair. That made me so sad when I read that part of the book,
too.
And thinking about that, and... Oh, but I can see why that would really inspire you to get out there and move and live life. And, you know, both of you are really inspiring me to get out there and move and live life more, even more than I have been.
Life is fun. It's supposed to be fun. You know, it's supposed to be a challenge. It's supposed to be filled with emotion and life. But we have to embrace it.
Yeah, and that saying that life starts right outside your comfort zone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I found that to be true. It's definitely true. And it makes you feel so alive when you do something that wanting to do that you're really scared to do, but you do it anyway. And, yeah, it's amazing. For me... Yeah, for me, that's definitely been, well, first of all, was starting this show back in December of 2013, for sure, and also now singing. I sing almost every month with my husband with West Coast Songwriters. We're co-managers of West Coast Songwriters.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's been really fun. And Heather, I could really relate when you said that about your husband becoming a partner in the music as well. And the performances, I could really relate to that. That can be so much fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, having us work together, I mean, we work together every day in what we do, and it's just so rewarding and exciting. And we both have our own areas of expertise, so it just comes together in a nice synergy, a nice collaboration.
That's the way it has to be. My husband and I have worked together in his graphic design and photography business since 1985. I still do that part of the time too, and I love my part in that as well. And
beautiful.
But you're right. I mean, I learned right away that I had to have my own areas of expertise and my own areas that I worked on. So yeah, not like one of us is the boss. And in that case,
right,
it would have been him.
Yes,
I am not your secretary. Well, we have only about 4 minutes left, and what's one quick thing each of you want to tell our audience about balance and about self-love? Who wants to go first?
Chandler, why don't you go first?
Okay. Thank you. So what I want to say about self-love is that it's the very beginning of awakening. You cannot love people completely and wholly unless you love yourself first. So in this grand awakening that we're experiencing on this planet right now, it begins with self-love. And it can be just little tiny things. It doesn't have to be big things. You know, it doesn't have to be big, huge trips or, you know, whatever. It can be a bath with candles. You know, it can be changing your self-talk so that you're not saying, oh, I'm so stupid. Instead, you're saying, oh, I made a mistake. Look at the lesson I get to learn from that, you know. And then it grows, and that self-love will grow as you do these little things. And then
so
you're better able to serve yourself, your family, again, your community, your city, your state, your country, your world, and your universe.
That's beautiful.
But it all begins right there.
That is so beautiful.
And the good news is,
what?
You can start any time in your life.
And
it's
you can restart as well.
Yes.
Yes, true.
Okay, Heather's turn. Heather, you've got a couple of minutes, so what do you want to tell us?
Well, I love that. So from this place of self-love, you know, we're really able to set priorities. We can set our goals. We can set our healthy boundaries with compassion. I think for women, you know, really learning how to set boundaries with compassion is really key for us. And you know, children, you guys are mothers, so working with children really appreciate boundaries, I feel, with the children I've worked with. It's the same thing for us in our relationships with others. You know, if you have clear boundaries and you're not all wishy-washy or hard to read, it's like clear, this is it. So, and you can do that with compassion. It works for me, it doesn't work for me. I like to say be unreasonable a little bit. take in that way you can take care of yourself. And in this, our life becomes like a vision quest. And it becomes like a ritual in which we are tuning in. We're seeking guidance. We are setting our goals, our priorities. And we are saying yes to what works for us. And we're saying no to what doesn't work for us. And so I like to see it as a ritual, you know, this process of balance. And in rituals, we set our sacred space, and our sacred space is our body temple, is within. And we can call in the support of the earth, the cosmos, our ancestors. We can ask for our guides to support us, and when we ask, we will receive. but we must ask. We must ask for the guidance. We must ask for the way to be shown. And then follow that, you know, write it down and remember what you asked for. A lot of times we forget what we asked for. So if I'm keeping a journal, it can be very helpful, and because you can track what you're being guided to do and receiving and follow through with that and make any course corrections along the way and know that, you know, things shift and change, and what might be right for you today or this month might not be what might shift next month or next year.
That is so true. You know, we're out of time, and I wish we had more time, but thank you so much for both being on the show, and I am so glad I am part of this book, Rise, Amazing Woman, Rise. Thank you for everyone for listening, and thank you for sharing the show with your friends and family. Bye for now, everyone. Live your
thank
music.
Thank you, Margo.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
The big wireless companies sold you an outdated plan tied to long-term contracts and mystery fees. Simple Mobile's different. You get a lightning-fast 4G LTE nationwide network with no contract, ever. And keep the phone and number you love. Just text the word BYOP to 611611 to see if your phone is compatible. Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple.
Standard text, message, and data rates may apply based on your mobile phone service. Please refer always to the privacy policy at simplemobile.com/privacy policy and the terms and conditions at simplemobile.com/terms and conditions.